Morning.
Morning.
Continuing our study of the Gospel of Luke, it's good to refresh our memories. And since I don't have a very long memory, there's only been 2 weeks so far, so I think I can pretty much cover that. Jonathan had kind of taken that high level, if you remember, of Luke's Gospel. Framing it for us, and looking at it from the standpoint of where Luke came from, some of his attributes that really speaks to Jesus Christ, the man. There's an emphasis on women and their ministries. It's just looking forward to. I think as one of our brothers had mentioned that this could maybe take a year or so. Who knows how long it'll take? And then our brother David took us through verses. Jonathan's was 1 through 4, and then David took us through verses 5 through 25, revealed kind of the setting, the place. What do some of the high priests, what's the work? What do they do on a weekly basis? And he talked to us about Elizabeth and Zacharias. And if you remember, and this is the thing that stuck out for me, was if you remember, they were up in years, and they did not have any children. And then when Gabriel, the archangel, had come and proclaimed some very good news to him, he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. He looked at himself and said, "Self, I don't believe this," rather than looking to God and say, "I must believe this." And the line that David had said was that we can only speculate this, but them being righteous before God was they certainly over the years were praying for a family. So they were faithful in praying, but not praying in faith. So I remember that the most. And so now we're going to go through now some of the things, the events, wonderful events that took place with Mary and with Elizabeth and the announcement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as you can see, it's Luke 1, 26 through 56. That's 30 verses. That's 3 minutes a verse. I think in about 90 minutes we'll have this thing banged out. The announcement. This was big. This was big news. This was wonderful news. And we're going to go through this as best we can. Certainly, again, to do this in 35 minutes is only scratching the surface. Please, please, as we go through the Gospel of Luke, read it through, dwell upon it. Let the Spirit really move you, and hopefully what you'll see today is a good beginning to what's going on. I'd like to read all the verses. It would probably be the best place to start. So let's open our books or our Bibles to Luke 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she went out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done a great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that not only do you proclaim the things that you have done for us in a marvelous and large scale, but you show us the intimate details of those things that went on before. Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign here in this place. Father, and not only in this place, but around the world where the gospel is being shed. Father, that hearts would come to know the Lord Jesus. Father, please, I ask that these be your words, not my words. We just give you all the glory and honor. Settle our hearts and minds now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So we have the announcement. In these first verses in Luke 26 through 33, the archangel Gabriel goes to Nazareth. And we know that we've seen in Scripture, in fact, we know that the apostle Nathanael in John 1:46 said, well, what good could come out of Nazareth? And some people would say that, well, Nazareth was kind of a seedy place. It was, if you look at the map here, and I pardon the details, but Nazareth is up in here. It's just south and east of the Sea of Galilee. Jerusalem being down here with Bethlehem. Certainly it's a long trade route, so there were Romans, there were Gentiles that were going through Nazareth, and that there would be some Roman influence, there would be, again, a lot of Greek influence. So maybe that's what Nathanael was saying. But also I would think that maybe Nathanael was saying that he knew the scriptures, and he knew that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. So he'd be saying, well, you're talking to me about the Messiah. What good can come out of Nazareth when it should be coming out of Bethlehem? So who knows, right? But that's where the archangel Gabriel was sent. We'll start right with Mary. She's spoken of one that was highly favored. And you'll notice in that verse, I think it's in 26 or 27, it says the word rejoice. Rejoice. I'd like you to just underline that word or circle that word, rejoice. It's the first thing that comes out of the angel's mouth to her. One thing I'd like to stress, and for those that may be listening online, is that we need to be careful when we deal with Mary and some people's thoughts about Mary. We need to be respectful of the various influences and maybe the various things that are said about Mary, but we always want to turn to Scripture. And what does the Bible tell us about Mary? You know, there'd be some things that if you were to look, and I use these terms in general, if we were to look at all Christendom, there would be certain groups of Christians that don't necessarily even talk about Mary. Love to talk about Peter, love to talk about Paul, love to talk about Jesus, Moses, David, go all through it, but you'll find that many few speak on the person of Mary. And yet there'd be other areas of, quote, I'll use the term loosely, Christendom, that would focus heavily on Mary from the standpoint of almost being the primary focus. But we always have to go back to what the Bible says. Let the Holy Spirit work on those things that God's word tells us. And the first thing after that, when we see that he tells her to rejoice, is that the angel greeted her. He did not worship or pray to her. He's talking to her. There's a conversation. He's relaying information. He did not worship her, or he didn't pray to her. The angel said that she was highly favored. He did not say she was full of grace. Beloved, we are recipients of God's grace. We enjoy God's grace. The genesis of grace comes from God the Father. We can be recipients of grace. We can be graceful to one another. We can show grace to one another here in this room. Even if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we can be gracious to people. There is nowhere in Scripture where you will see that she's called as being full of grace. She definitely received grace from the Father. The privilege that's being bestowed upon her. Think of the magnitude of this. Talk a little bit about Mary as a person. The privilege bestowed was not a reward. It wasn't something that she earned, that there was something unique in her past or in the present, if we were to look at it, that said, okay, God was rewarding her with this. She's highly favored. It's a gift of his grace. We don't know the mysteries behind it. We don't know why she was selected. If we were to look at the timeline of everybody that was and has and will be born, why Mary was called out, she was highly favored. That's all Scripture tells us. It was a gift of God's grace. She was troubled. If you look at her trying to absorb the situation, the next thing, and I would like you to circle or underline those words in Scripture also, the next thing that Gabriel tells her is, be not afraid. Can you imagine her mindset? If you do some research, she's anywhere from her mid-teens to her early 20s. She's now trying to wrap her mind around not only the interaction with an angel. We don't know how that took place. We don't know what the physical circumstances were. He definitely was different. This definitely was a conversation that was different than any conversation she had with anybody else. So she's trying to take that in, and she's also trying to take in the content of the message. You know, I think when we get into situations where we might be confused or we don't quite understand, we tend to fall back onto those things that we know, right? Okay, I don't want to understand what the situation is, but based on the experiences that I've had in the past, this is how I'm going to initially react. And we're going to see some of Mary's initial reactions, which I really think speak to the content of this brief life that she's had so far. It's a wondrous thing. It's a wondrous thing. Be not afraid. Rejoice and be not afraid. I'll go back to Mary for a minute. We have to keep a balanced view of Mary. We have to keep Mary in perspective. She's very important. And we need to have this balance that she's one who needs a Savior just like you and I. And we know, because we just heard the verse, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It doesn't say most have sinned. It doesn't call Mary out specifically. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We must have that in perspective. Mary was a sinner. Yet, she is one who is specifically favored for something no one had ever done, no one has ever done, and no one will ever do again. We can look in the sports world. We can look in academics. We can look at any discipline that you want to look at, and somebody has achieved something, and you know in a couple of years somebody has not only achieved it but has actually exceeded it or has accomplished that. That's never going to be the case here. She is truly unique and highly favored, and we would rejoice and be thankful of that. He tells her, you're going to conceive, you're going to bring forth a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. And you'll see that the next phrase that he has says, and behold, underline that also. Circle that in your Bible. His humanity, he's born of blood and water, just as you and I are the young adults here in Sunday school. how important is that, that he was born of water and of blood just like you and I? We kind of chuckle a little bit in Sunday school. We say our Savior can't be a frog. It can't be a horse. It can't be an animal. It can't be a statue. It has to be just like us. Jesus had to be just like us. That's his humanity. His deity is in his name. Jehovah, salvation. He brings salvation with him. Wonderful things. And what wonderful words now, if you connect those three words, or those three phrases, rejoice, be not afraid, and behold. As I was preparing today, for today, you know, we can take those verses that we may find difficult at times, or we may find hard to take in, or they may be very comforting to us, or there may be something that we're going through in life today, whatever it might be. And I would charge and challenge you, put these three things in front of anything that is troubling you, anything that you want to rejoice in, anything that you may not have confidence in today, and just take it in and let the Holy Spirit work on them for you. Rejoice, be not afraid, and behold, God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet and still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? What a wonderful... You can see how God, through the angel Gabriel, is parsing things out for her to say, these are the things that you need to take mentally in order so you can get your head around these things. The next one I have here, and again, you can insert your own verses. Rejoice, be not afraid, and behold, no height, no depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rejoice. Don't be afraid of that. And behold. Behold is listen, right? Stand up. You listen to this. It's important. Another one I just put here. Rejoice, be not afraid, and behold, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Have you felt forsaken? Have you felt left at times? Have you ever felt like I'm the only one in this battle? Rejoice, be not afraid, and be bold. That's the charge for today. Where is God telling you to just use these words? Use what he tells us. Still in John 26 through 33, he will be great. Another thing that the young ones have heard from me, right? He's not just famous, he's great. There's a difference between famous and great. And the big difference is we can usually call out who's famous, right? Wherever our mindset is, it might be something in music, it might be a person in government, it may be a person in athletics, it may be whatever you can fill in the blank. We can define, and we do define as society, those people that are famous. A lot of times what we find is that usually once they've passed, or once they're no longer famous, we actually find some things about them that may even be infamous. Right? It's just the way it is. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can figure out who's famous. There's only one that can determine greatness, and that's God himself. And he's declared his son to be great. He will be great. Not that we hope him to be great. He will be great because God sees not only the outward appearance, but the inner man. And can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ for this time on earth, not only being judged by society around him, the rich, the poor, the people with status, with no status, he's being judged because of his outward appearance, but every moment of every day, God is looking at the inward man, Jesus Christ, and declares him perfect. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. There's only one that is great. He will be great, not just famous. He's great. Just to emphasize this a little further, he was in all points tempted. We need that, right, as a Savior. He needed to be in all points tempted. He needs to be associated with or knowledgeable of our infirmities. Yet he is without sin. As his work, he's able to save to the uttermost. He doesn't just get us there. We talked about that. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He doesn't bring you 90% there and then hope that you're going to get the rest of the 10%, right? He saves to the uttermost those who come to God through him. It's in his work he shall be declared great. It's in his identity. He's the Son of the Highest. I don't think he said it to Peter smugly, but I'm sure he just asked him the question. So, Peter, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ of God. And if you remember what Jesus' reaction was to that, he rejoiced, didn't he? He said, you know, you didn't learn this from, because he's looking at the inner person. Jesus is looking at Peter's inner heart, his inner mind. He's rejoicing to the Father, saying, there's nobody that could explain this to you. This only came from God. His identity is great. His title to the throne of David, his everlasting kingdom. Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Wondrous things. He's not elected for 4 years and maybe another 4 years after that and then he's out. It's forever and ever. He's the great I am. Second part here is, how can this be? So we move to verses 34 to 45. Have you ever wondered, how can it be? How can it be? Sometimes we're like Zacharias, right? How can it be? I'm looking at the situation here and it doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me. I'll just throw some lines out to you. How can it be that God came into this world to save you? I am such an insignificant part of the overall plan. How can this be? Why is it so important? Why would he even want to? We start to maybe question the how can it be. How can it be that God would consider you favored and called and redeemed and reconciled to him? We know that Mary was highly favored. Why would I be? How could I even be highly favored? You start to look at the things in your life. You start to look at your circumstances. And you start to question, how can this be? How can it be that God can make a real difference in you and through you and others? God's way up there. I'm way down here, and I'm immersed in all these things. And how can he even relate to that? And do I even want him to relate to that? How can he make a real difference in me, let alone make a difference in me that I can show to somebody else? You start to question things when it comes to this. How can it be that God considers you and I his friends? So now it's collectively. Look at the body here at Western Wake. And he so loved us that he desires a relationship in which to work through us as the body of Christ. How can we be effective in this community? We don't have the big billboards and the advertisements and the out. How could we ever really accomplish? All of a sudden, our faith starts to fall short. Is our how can it be born out of unbelief like Zacharias at times? Do we find ourselves looking inward, leaning on our own understanding, rather than on the accomplishments of God? Or as Mary's inquiry as to method. Scripture shows us that she is taking in a huge amount and processing a huge amount of information. And her how can it be is one of method, not doubting her Lord and Savior. Mary gets a direct answer, doesn't she, in Scripture? For nothing's impossible with God. What a beautiful way to put it. So many times we want to get into the little nuances. Can I see the Gantt chart? Can I see how we're going to plot this out and what the milestones are? And if this is accomplished, then we go, you know, all of a sudden we want to get hung up into the details where he just lays it all out there. Nothing's impossible for God. She answers with a direct response, doesn't she? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You imagine that? Put ourselves in the situation. Mary had things to do tomorrow, right? She probably had a list. She probably had responsibilities. She probably had things that needed to be done based on the things that she had been doing up to this point in her life. And all of a sudden, she's saying, you know what? I'm available. And I'm available not to my plan, but according to your word. I challenge you, beloved, is there a greater statement of faith that you can find in the Bible? I know there's many, but let's sit down and take the gravity of the situation. She has just cleaned the plate off. She has just said, I'm willing to put things aside in order that your will may be done in my life, Lord. She's falling back on these experiences, however brief that they might be, and now she's executing on them, right? So many times we can learn things, but we don't execute on them. We passively say, okay, this is how I will react in situations. She's now executing. She's taking action on those things that she has found her faith to be. I'm available to you, Lord. Are we? She's saying yes to the impossible. Do we? She says yes to the plan of God for her life. Have we? I have absolute faith and total trust in you. Do we? Do we hear nothing is impossible for God and say directly, purposely, yes, Lord, I'm here. I'll do whatever you will. My faith is totally in you. Mary's call is a call to action for you and I. Her example is an example for us to say, you know what? Rejoice. Be not afraid. And behold, I have great things for you. This was supposed to be the verse. I was three verses off. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed. Now God is going to execute in and to a willing heart, Mary. But we must specifically remember, and again, I'll preface this. We go back to the Bible and we see what it says in the Bible about Mary. Scripture never speaks of Mary as the mother of God. It doesn't say that in Scripture. It doesn't speak of Mary as the mother of God. And if we just took some time and thought about that, how could God have a mother? Based on the totality of Scripture, how can God have a mother? She's the mother of Jesus. She's the mother of the man, Jesus. And that's very vital for us, right? Have to have a Savior that's a man. Got to be a man. Mary, like you and I, had a beginning. She has an end. Jesus exists for all eternity. I'm here yesterday, today, and forever. She is the mother of the man, Jesus. God is the Father. It's that perfect blend of humanity and deity that is the great mystery for us, and that we can rejoice, be not afraid of, and behold it. The last portion is the Magnificat. The 10 verses between 46 and 56, where now Mary being filled in the Spirit, mid-teenager, early 20s, and now she's starting to be utilized of God. She's now proclaiming the things of God and magnifying Him. So we'll go this verse by verse. My soul doth magnify the Lord. There's no self-glorification here. My soul magnifies the Lord. We see it in the Baptist, don't we? At some point, John the Baptist. I must decrease. He has to increase. In our faith life and in the things that we want to be that sweet savor to the Lord in our life, we, the flesh, must decrease. And He must increase. That is such a simple equation to speak of, but so very difficult to do. She's not self-glorifying here. In fact, she's bringing herself to the position of saying, according to your will. Next verse, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I have to respectfully go back to what I said before. The angel never prayed to Mary. The angel never worshipped Mary. Mary has never declared to herself or to anybody that she is the genesis or full of grace. She's the recipient of grace. And she rejoices in her spirit in God, her Savior. She acknowledges the needs, her personal need to be cleansed of her sin. It's like the verse said, all have sinned, not some. He hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaiden. Again, she's grounding herself in the grace that God has given her. She's a sinner, and she's in need of a Savior. And she's saying he has been respectful or mindful. He has deemed it to be important of her low, sinful estate. And yet he's doing this wonderful work in and through her. Behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Again, not self-glorification, but it's just a matter of that would be the end result. When you and I are coming alongside this event, it's not a fairy tale, this event that God has purposely used this woman, Mary, as an instrument to bring forth the perfect Savior and sacrifice. So all she's saying is that I'm not self-glorifying, but I know people are going to see me as a blessed and a one who has been blessed individual. Has anybody in this room not received a blessing from God? Okay. We've all received blessings from God. Are they any less important than the blessings that Mary has received through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You be the judge. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is unto all generations and generations from them that fear him. She's guarding herself here. Do you imagine she have to guard herself? Pride is such. We can be prideful that we're not prideful. Right? Can you imagine how she now has to, as she's taking this in, to quench the flesh from the standpoint of saying, you know what? I'm not extraordinary here. Extraordinary things are being done in me and through me. But I'm in with the generations, just as everybody else is. I'm in the same timeline. I'm receiving the same blessings. She's guarding herself from those things, thinking that anybody would think of her as being extraordinary, as a person that just needs salvation and is a sinner. Get close. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down princes from their thrones and hath exalted them to low degree. God doesn't need anybody in this planet to bring down the powers and principalities of this world. He done it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything has been made his footstool. Everything. The Gentiles or the Greeks seek what? Wisdom, right? The Jews seek a sign. What is better and more perfect than the power of the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, put aside his glory, took his marching orders from his Father on a daily basis, is not only famous but altogether through and through great. She's rejoicing in that strength that Jesus Christ brings when it comes to saving you and I. Do you remember where Jesus just rejoiced? He must have just laughed when these huge truths, if you remember, when he was with the apostles, and all of this revelation is being experienced and being vocalized by the apostles, and he just laughs and says, "What a wonderful thing, Father. You've shown this to the lowly people. You haven't gone out and looked in the throne rooms of this world, but you've revealed yourself to people that are low in spirit and humble. He hath put down princes from their thrones. He hath exalted them of low degree. The hungry he hath filled with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. She found fullness in the satisfaction of her God." Are you hungry today? Are you going to go away hungry today? If you're going to go away hungry, where are we going to get filled? Because this world will fill us up. We will be filled. Amusement. Amusement is the lack of musing on something, right? Musing is to think or to dwell and to experience. We seek amusement, which is the lack of thinking. What's going to fill us? The things of this world are going to fill us somehow. We want to be filled by the things and the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like Mary, we want to be found filled and satisfied by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they're good things and they're rich things based on whose perspective? We have no perspective when it comes to good and rich things. Our perspective is tainted by the flesh. These are good and these are rich things based on God's perspective. He hath helped Israel his servant, that he might remember mercy. He has spoke unto our fathers towards Abraham and his seed forever, acknowledging God for the faithfulness to Abraham's seed. God is faithful. He is forever faithful. We heard it today, right? He will finish that work which he has begun in each and every one of you and I. That is a fact. Rejoice, don't be afraid, and behold, he who hath begun a good work in you. A wonderful thing. A wonderful thing that we know that it's going to get finished. How many projects have we finished in our or started in our lifetime and never finished? He's a finisher. To summarize, rejoice, be not afraid, and behold. Carry that with you today. Take that thing that's in your closet, in your mental closet, that maybe nobody else knows about, that is really fearful for you, and take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice in the fact. And don't be afraid of the fact. And behold the fact that the second one, that how can it be all things are possible with God? Triumph in his completion of things. Triumph in his ability to do that whichever you can fill in the blank, and he can do it to the uttermost. Let our souls magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. He must increase. I must decrease. The flesh needs to go to the cross every day, right? It needs to be nailed to the cross every day. We can be prideful in our pride. Rejoice, be not afraid, and behold. How can it be? All things are possible with God. My soul magnifies. He must increase. I must decrease. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for these wonderful, detailed descriptions and pictures of a heart that has totally opened up to those things that are according to your will. We thank you for Mary. We thank you what you did through Mary. We thank you for her response to you. Father, we look at these things and we dwell on the things that she said and the power of the Holy Spirit, and they reach out to us and would cause us to react. Father, have us take action and react to these things in our lives. Have us magnify you. Have us rejoice in you. Have us not be afraid of the things of this world. And have us to behold the mighty works that you can accomplish, knowing that you can accomplish all things, that nothing is impossible. Father, just reduce us. Have you increase in us. We want to give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.